My siblings, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, my Lord, my rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Happy Advent, everyone. It is our new year liturgically, and for all of those who love geeking out, we will probably be saying Happy New Year for a while. For those of you who came in before this light was lit, you would have noticed that Advent begins in darkness. Not in the cozy darkness of candlelit evenings, but the raw darkness of waiting, of not knowing, of systems that seem immovable and nights that seem endless. And so we light a single candle today, not because the darkness has ended, but because we refuse to let it have the final word. That small flame is an act of defiance, a declaration of hope, a breaking of silence in a world that would prefer we remain silent. This year, the first Sunday of Advent coincides with the Breaking the Silence Sunday, observed globally on November 30th as a part of the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. It is a holy collision that demands that we ask, what does it mean to prepare the way of the Lord when that way is blocked by violence? What does it mean to watch and wait for Christ's coming when so many are watching the door, waiting for footsteps, for the cycle of violence to begin again? What does it mean to long for peace on earth when peace is absent from the places that should be the safest to us, in our homes and in our families? In our first reading from today, Isaiah gives us a vision almost too beautiful to understand, too beautiful to believe that could happen. For he says and declares, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. The prophet paints a picture of a world so transformed that every tool possible for violence becomes useless, melted away, reshaped into instruments of cultivation and growth. The Episcopal Diocese of New York's Task Force for Breaking the Silence Sunday powerfully says, Isaiah's vision is not about nations laying down weapons on some distant battlefield. Instead, it is about every place where violence festers, including behind closed doors within our own homes and relationships that are meant to nurture. The task force reminds us that for survivors of abuse, this prophetic image speaks directly to their reality. Homes meant to be sanctuaries have become battlefields. Words meant to bless have been weaponized to wound. Hands meant to comfort have been raised to harm. According to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 9 men in the United States have experienced severe intimate partner violence during their lifetimes. And so today we light a candle and we break the silence and we refuse to wait quietly. On November 25th, 1960, almost exactly 65 years ago, 3 sisters were murdered on a mountain road in the Dominican Republic. The date is seared into our history as Dominicans, into the collective memory of our nation, into my own heart as a proud Dominican daughter who grew up with their story woven into my own understanding of courage and faith, of bravery and unwillingness to be silent. Patria, Minerva, and Maria Teresa Mirabal were returning from visiting their husbands, who had been imprisoned for opposing the brutal dictatorship of Rafael Trujillo. For over 30 years, Trujillo had ruled through intimidation, imprisonment, torture, and murder. Yet this fascist dictator, with all his military power, once admitted that his only problems were the Catholic Church and the Mirabal sisters. Three young women from a prominent family had become such a threat to tyranny that a dictator named them alongside the entire church. That day in November 25th, the three sisters and their drivers were ambushed during their trip back home. They were beaten to death in a cane field, their bodies placed back into their vehicle and pushed over a cliff to simulate an accident. But nobody believed this story, for the truth has a way of always emerging, even when powerful people try to bury it alongside the bodies who dare to speak of it. The Mirabal sisters, also known for their code name, Las Mariposas, the butterflies, had done what seemed impossible. Born into privilege, they could have remained silent. It was easy for someone of wealth in that time to just see what was going on and turn an eye because life was okay for them. They could have remained silent. They could have protected themselves by looking the other way, by accommodating evil. Instead, they chose to see. They chose to act. They chose to become what their nation needed, even while knowing the cost. Their path to resistance began with a violation. When Trujillo made violent advances towards Minerva at a social event, she slapped his face in defiance. Dictators don't seem to like that. It set in motion brutal retaliations. Their father was imprisoned and died from the treatment that he had received. Minerva and her parents were arrested. Their property and homes were seized. Even when she graduated law school, summa cum laude, she was denied her license to practice law, punishment for her defiance. But refusal became their spiritual practice, refusal to be silenced, refusal to accept injustice, refusal to let fear determine their choices. Minerva married fellow activist Manolo Taveres, and together they became resistance leaders. Maria Teresa, the youngest sister, joined the movement, organizing opposition to the dictatorship. They knew the grave risks. They were imprisoned and tortured multiple times, but they remained faithful to the breaking of this silence. Maria Teresa wrote in her diary, "Perhaps the most that we have certain is that death is near. But that idea does not frighten me. We shall continue to fight for what is just." Las mariposas, the butterflies, fragile, beautiful, impossible to cage, even in death, they could not be silenced. 6 months after their assassination, Trujillo himself was assassinated. You see, the martyrdom of these three women had helped topple a dictator who had ruled through the terror of three decades. Today, the United Nations honors their sacrifice by marking November 25th as the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. As a Dominican and as a woman, it is of great pride to know that their sacrifice and all that they gave for our country is now symbolized as a day of awareness for women all across the world. When I see butterflies, which I see them often, I think of them as symbols of transformation, of breaking free from the bonds of pain and oppression. In today's gospel, Jesus speaks of the unexpected coming of the Son of Man. "Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know what day the Lord is coming." I wonder if we might hear these words differently today. "Keep awake" can mean stay alert, watch for the signs, keep watch, prepare. If you see something, say something. My sibling, Advent readiness is not passive waiting. We're just not waiting for Christ to be born again. It's an active preparation. It is John the Baptist breaking the silence in the wilderness, screaming out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The task force for breaking the silence says that Bishop Sean Rowe invites us to understand that this often quiet period we are reminded of how John the Baptist entered the biblical scene. He was someone who also broke the silence with his clarion call for the people of his time to repent because the kingdom of heaven draws near. As in John's day, breaking silence prepares the way for God's transforming work, for truth to prevail and for justice to take root in our hearts and in our common life. And so what is that silence today that demands to be broken? It's the silence that allows abuse to thrive. It's the theology that twists scripture into justification for domination. The systems that fail survivors, that is the silence that we are called to break again today. All of this needs to be melted down and reforged like Isaiah's swords beaten into plowshares. Theologian Marie Fortune says, "There's no justification in scripture for abuse, domination, or violence against another person." Now, there's violence in our scriptures, but there's never justification for it. Instead, scripture calls us to treat one another with love and compassion and justice. Jesus, who came preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, who touched the untouchable and defended the accused, this Jesus provides no cover for violence. As followers of Christ, we're called to reforge our communities into places of safety. This means building systems of accountability and offering refuge and resources and naming abuse for what it is, a violation of God's will and human dignity. And so this is the work before us. This is the work we're called to once again today in Advent, but every day of our lives, creating accountability, offering concrete refuge, funding shelters, training volunteers, creating safety plans, believing survivors when they speak up, staying awake. The task force offers that true Advent readiness means preparing our hearts and our communities for Christ's presence by building spaces for safety and compassion and justice. My siblings, we cannot welcome the Prince of Peace while ignoring the violence among us. When the church speaks openly about domestic abuse, it breaks the silence that allows abuse to thrive. For how many times have we heard, "For this is my cross, I have to bear it," when someone is telling us about domestic abuse? We must speak up. We must break the silence. When we educate ourselves and provide resources and advocate for victims, we live out the gospel's call to be light in the darkness. We cannot light candles for hope, peace, joy, and love while turning away from those whose hope has been crushed, whose peace has been shattered, and whose joy has been stolen. The work of Advent, preparing the way, must include the work of breaking the silence and building safety. This is how we make the path straight. This is how we prepare room in the inn. And this is how we become the answers to so many desperate prayers. Now, there was a fourth Mirabal sister. Her name was Dede, and she survived. For 54 years, she raised her sister's 6 children alongside her 3, so 9 children, and she preserved their legacy through a museum in their childhood home. And if you're ever in Dominican Republic, I just invite you to go visit this museum. The stories that are kept there, the resilience you can still feel. Dede became the keeper of their stories, ensuring that La Mariposas would never be forgotten. She died in 2014 at the age of 88, having spent more than half a century breaking the silence. My siblings, we too are called to be keepers of stories and breakers of silence, to believe survivors when they find the courage to speak, to bear witness to truth that are hard to hear, to prepare the way, not just for a baby in a manger that was born over 2,000 years ago, but for Christ's presence in our midst right now, right here. And that looks like justice, like safety, like beloved community, like the kingdom of heaven breaking through. And so as we light this first candle of Advent, we light it not only in anticipation of Christ's coming at Christmas, but in solidarity with all those who wait for violence to end. We light it for the Mirabal sisters and for all those who have had to become butterflies, fragile yet fierce, beautiful yet brave, breaking free from what tried to cage them, crush them, and silence them forever. As we lit this flame today, we are saying, we see you, we believe you, and we are here for you. Now, if you may turn to the second to last page in your bulletin, and let us listen and respond accordingly to this beautiful litany written by the Reverend Moria Findlay, named To the Survivors Among Us. To the survivors among us, we are sorry for what you experienced. We are honored that you are here with us, and we believe you. If your experience was last week, last year, or decades ago,
we believe you.
If you told someone when it happened, or you kept it to yourself, or can barely speak of what you lived through, we believe you. If you reported it to the authorities, or you didn't, or you couldn't, or you might yet, or you can't,
we believe you.
If you knew your assailant, were in a relationship with them, or if they were a stranger,
we believe you.
If you were out on a date or in your own home, remember every detail or it's all a blur. Were a senior or a child or somewhere in between,
we believe you.
If you fought back or you didn't, you did what you needed to do to survive and
we believe you.
If you need us to listen, or sit with you in the silence, or hold you while you cry, or give you space to scream, we are here with you. If you are afraid or ashamed, scared of what might happen if the details are known,
we are here with you.
If you are wondering if it was all your fault, if you're damaged goods, if boys and men can really be victims,
we are here with you.
If you're unsure if God could still love you, if you have a place in the church, if your story really matters here, if there's enough grace for someone like you, to the survivors among us, we are sorry for what you experienced. We are honored that you are here with us. And
amen.
Amen.